B'siyata Dishmaya, we're going to start learning Daf Yotes, the third line from the top of the Omud. We just learnt in the Sugya on Daf Yotches a discussion as to how far the consciousness of people who had already passed away have regarding what goes on in this world. And as a continuation, the Gemara says as follows: Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, Kol Hamasapir Acharei Hames, anybody that speaks negatively about a person who has passed away, ki'ilu masapir achrei ha'even, it is as if he spoke negatively against a stone. Ikid amru, some say delo yodi. The reason for this comparison is because the people who have passed away, the people that you're speaking against, they just have no consciousness of what's going on here. They don't know what you said about them. Ve'ikid amru, some say de yodi, that they do know what's going on here. V'lo yichbaslu, they don't care about what we say about them. Asks the Gemara, Eini, Va'omer of Papa, Chad Ishtoi Milsa Basreid Mar Shmuel. Rav Papa says that there was somebody who said something negative about Mar Shmuel after Mar Shmuel passed away. V'nofal Kanyo Metalalo, and a pole fell off from the roof, Ubizo Le'arnaka Demoiche, and it split the membrane around his brain, and this person died. So it seems from there that Mar Shmuel got offended by what this person had said, and because of that, it caused a kitrug, and this person got punished, and he died. So how can you say that speaking against people who had passed away, it makes no difference to them? It's as if you've spoken about a stone. Says the Gemara, Shani Tzuvra Mirabonon, De Kutra Brichu Tova Biyokre. When regarding a Talmud Chacham, it's different, because there Hashem demands his honor. It's true that the Talmud Chacham himself may not have been aware, and maybe he was aware and he didn't care, but Hashem does not allow that we should speak against Talmidei Chachamim even after they pass away. And if we speak against them, Hashem comes and claims revenge and gives punishment. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Hamasapir Achar Mitoson Shel Talmidei Chachamim, anybody who speaks against the Talmud Chacham after the Talmud Chacham has passed away, Neifel v'Gehenem, he's going to fall into Gehenem. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, v'hamatim akalkuloisam, those who turn to negativity, they lean towards negativity, which means they're speaking negatively about the Talmud Chacham, yoylichem Hashem esper le'oven, Hashem will drive them together with the sinners to Gehenem. Sholim al Yisrael, Afilu b'shor she'sholim al Yisrael, even when there's peace amongst Klal Yisrael. And Tosfos explains that means even if it's talking about a Talmud Chacham who will no longer cause a machlokes, he won't take revenge, the Talmud Chacham is not alive anymore. It's not talking about Talmud Chacham who's alive and you said something negative against him and he's going to answer back and he's going to justify himself and then there's going to be a machlokes. No, we're talking about a Talmud Chacham that passed away and the peace in Klal Yisrael is not going to get ruffled by it. Nonetheless, Yelichem Hashem Espoel Le'oven, Hashem will lead this person together with the other sinners to Gehenem. Continues the Gemara. Tono debei Rabbi Shmuel, im ro'iso Talmud Chochem she'ovar aveira balaylo. If you saw a Talmud Chochem who did an aveira at night, others say it's referring to even if you saw him do an aveira in the day, al taharir acharov bayoim. The time day arrives, don't assume, don't hold it against him and assume that he's still holding on to the aveira. Shema also tshuva. It could be that he did tshuva overnight. And Rabbeinu Yonah brings the proof from here that only Amei HaOretz delay doing tshuva. Talmidei Chachamim, they do tshuva as soon as they do an Avera, they are aware of it and they do tshuva. Asks the Gemara, Shema Sol Kedai Toch, it's only a possibility that they did tshuva, only maybe they did tshuva. Elovadai Osa Tshuva, you have to assume that they definitely did tshuva. V'hanim Mili B'dvarim Shebegufoy, that's true regarding personal matters. But if you saw this Talmud Chacham who's holding on to money that's possibly not rightfully his, you only have to assume that he's got a clean slate after you know that he's returned the money to the person that it should be returned to. Continues the Gemara of Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Bechof Daled Mekoimois Beizdin Menadin al Kvoid Horav. There are 24 places where the Beis Din excommunicated somebody consequent to his having negated or his having insulted a Rav. V'kulon shaninu b'mishnasenu, and they're all in our Mishnayos. Omele Rebbe Loza, Heicha, Rebbe Loza asked to Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, you're quoting 24. Where are these 24 places? Omar Lei, Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi said to Rebbe Loza, Lechi Tishkach, you'll find them. Go and look for them. Look through the Mishnayos, you'll find them. Nofak, he went out, Yot Dok V'ashkach Tlas. Rebbe Loza went to Shas Mishnayos. He only found three places where indeed a Talmud Chochem or somebody was put into Nidui, was excommunicated because of Kvoid Horav. And these three places are, one, Hamazalzel Benetilas Yodaim, somebody who belittles or ridiculed the Takonas Chachomim of Netilas Yudaim, of washing hands before eating. The second one is Hamasapir Achar Mitoson Shel Talmidei Chachomim, somebody who spoke negatively about a Talmud Chacham after he passed away. And the third one is Hamegis Daitoi Klapimailo, somebody who speaks disrespectfully or inappropriately to Hashem. So the Gemara is going to explain Hamasapir Achar Mitoson Shel Talmidei Chachomim. Where do we find in a Mishnah that somebody spoke negatively against the Talmud Chacham who had passed away and therefore was put into Nidui? Maihi, where is this Mishnah? Titnan, we learned a Mishnah in Idiois. Hu hoya oimir, Akavya ben Mahalalel held, Ein mashkin loyes hagiyeres v'loyes hamoshuchreres. In the case of a Saita, where if a woman was nisyachid with a man, even though she was married, and she was warned not to, then she has to go to the Beis Din, she's taken to the Beis HaMikdash, and the whole process of Saita starts. But Rabbi Akavya ben Mahalalel held that in the case of a Gyeris, a convert, or a Shivcha Knanis that was Mishtachreris, she was freed, and she has the same halachas as a convert, as a Gyeris, and they do not drink the waters of Saita. The Chachomim say Mashkin, they argue and say that she is liable to all the halachas of drinking the waters of a Saita, even though she's a Kiyaris. Omruloi, the Chachomim said to Akavya ben Mahalalel, Maisa Bekarkumis. Karkumis was the name of a woman, it was either her name or name of a place where she came from. Shivcha Mashuchreres, and she was a Shivcha Knanis that became freed, Birushalayim, and she was in Yerushalayim at the time, V'hishkua Shemaya V'avtalyoin. And Shemaya V'avtalyoin at the time, when they were the Beis Din, the Rosh Hashiba, the Nasi, they ruled that this woman has to drink from the waters. V'omar Lohem, and Akavya ben Mahalalel said to the Chachomim regarding Shemaya V'avtalyoin, who paskened like the Chachomim and not like him, Dugma Hishkua. Yeah. Shemaya v'Avtalyon themselves were either converts themselves or descendants of converts, and therefore they were on the same page as this convert, and therefore they said she should drink. But really the aloch is that she should not drink. That's what Akavya ben Mahalalel held. V'niduhu, and because Akavya spoke like this about Shemaya v'Avtalyon, they excommunicated him. Umeis b'niduyav, he passed away before they managed to take away the nidui. V'soklu Beis Din es Aroinoi, and the halach is that if somebody passes away whilst in a nidui, then they put a stone on his coffin, on the orin, as if they're stoning the orin. Continues the Gemara. The next case where we find in the Mishnah that they excommunicated somebody, v'hamazalzel b'netilas yodaim, that somebody who is mazalzel in the takonas chachomim of netilas yodaim before eating. Maihi, where's this Mishnah? Titnan, we learnt also in Idyos, Omer Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda said, chas v'sholim shakavyo ben Mahalalel nisnado. It cannot be like you said in the Mishnah that we just learned, that Akavya ben Mahalalel was excommunicated. She'ein azoran in eles al kol odom b'Yisrael b'chochma u'b'tayra u'b'yiras chet k'Akavya ben Mahalalel. We know that on Erev Pesach, either it was b'nes or not b'nes, but the Klal Yisrael went into the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash in three shifts, and between each of the shifts, the doors were closed. And it says that within these shifts, there was nobody who was as great as Akavya ben Malalel, either in Chochmah, or in Taira, or in Yiras Chet. So it cannot be that somebody like that was excommunicated. And the Mefarshim ask here, why didn't he just say there was nobody in Klal Yisrael as big as Akavya ben Malalel in Chochmah, Taira, and Yiras Chet? Why is he associating it to the shifts in the Beis HaMikdash when the doors would close on the sections of Klal Yisrael? And the Mefarshim give an explanation. Elo, es mi nidu? Who did they put into nidui? Es Elozor ben Chanoich. Somebody else. Elozor ben Chanoich, shepikpek, he doubted, or he ridiculed, questioned, b'netilas yudaim, the takonos hachomim of netilas yudaim, u'kishemesim, when he died, sholchu beizdin, beizdin sent a message, that ve'inichu even gedoylo al aroino, they should put a big stone onto his coffin, l'lamdoch shekola misnade, anyone who's excommunicated, u'meis b'niduyov, and he dies while still in that state of excommunication, based in Soiklin et Aroinoi, then they do a type of stoning, which is putting a big stone on the coffin. Continues the Gemara. The third place we find in Mishnayos that somebody was excommunicated for being mezalzel in Kvoid Horav, Vamegis Daitoi Klapim Mailo. Somebody who speaks disrespectfully or inappropriately towards Hashem. Maihi, what's this Mishnah? Ditnan. We learned in a Mishnah in Tainis, Sholach lo Shimon ben Shetach lo Choynia Ma'agol. There was the famous story of Choynia Ma'agol, who demanded from Hashem rain, and when rain didn't come down as expected, he made a circle on the floor, he got into the circle and told Hashem, I'm staying in the circle until you give us rain. And then Hashem gave rain, it was too slow, it was too fast, and Choynia Ma'agol spoke to Hashem, we can't talk like this, but almost as if to a friend. He says, I expect this and I don't expect that, and do this and don't do that. And it looked like it was a certain disrespect with the way he was expressing his expectations of Hashem. And Shimon ben Shetach afterwards sent a message to Choynia Ma'agol, Tzorich atolis nadus, you deserve to be excommunicated for the way you spoke to Hashem. Ve'ilmoli Choyni ato, if you wouldn't be this tremendously great person called Choynia Ma'agol, Gizranya lecho nidui, I would actually put you into nidui. Avol ma esa, I won't put you into nidui. What can I do? She'atom ischate lifnei koinoi, that you're speaking to Hashem in that way, and nonetheless, vo'isa lecho ratzoincha, and he did everything you asked him to do. Keben is like a son, she'mischate lifnei oviv, who speaks in a degrading and expecting type of way to his father, and nonetheless, and the father does what the son wants. And obviously, you're the type of person that the Pasuk says about you, your father and mother are happy about you, and the one who bore you is very glad. Since it's clear that Hashem is very happy with you, I won't excommunicate you. But the way you are speaking to Hashem is one that's deserving of excommunication. Ask the Gemara, V'su leka? You, Rebbe Loza, only found these three sources where somebody was excommunicated of the 24 that Rabbi Shua ben Levi referred to. V'ho'ika, the Tanya we learned in the Braisa, another one, the Tanya of Yosef. We learned in the Braisa from Rav Yosef, Tudus ish Roimi. Tudus from Rome, Hinhig es bnei Roimi, he created this custom, this minig in Rome, Lahachilon gdoyim mekulosim, that they should eat on Seder night, a kid, type of a goat, that was mekulosim, it was roasted and armored and capped with its insides, B'leil Pesachim on Leil Pesach, very similar to the way that the Korban Pesach used to be offered and roasted in the Beis HaMikdash when the Beis HaMikdash was up. Sholach Lei Shimon ben Shetach, Shimon ben Shetach sent to this Tudus Ish Roimi as follows, Ilmolei Tudus Ato, if you wouldn't be this very choshev and great person called Tudus, Guzran Yalecho Nidui, I would excommunicate you. She'ato Machil Es Yisrael Kochim Bachut, anyone who's seeing this and watching this minig and the way people are eating this gdi with the insides around it, is going to think that they're allowed to eat kolchim. It looks like kolchim. Says this. So why didn't Rebbe Elazar mention this brisa? Says the Gemara, b'mishnosenu ka'amrinon. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that he found 24 in the Mishnayos. V'hal b'raisa hi. This was a toni of Yosef. It was a brisa. It was not a Mishnah, and therefore it wasn't counted as one of the 24. Asks the Gemara, b'masnitzin leka, and you didn't find any more Mishnayos. V'ho ika. There's a Mishnah, hodit none. We learned in the Mishnah, again in Idiyos, and it repeats itself in Kalim, chotchu, Chulyois v'nosan choil bein chulya l'chulya. There was a type of oven that was a movable oven. It was not attached to the ground, and it was a round type of oven. It became tomei, and the halach is by kli cheres with earthenware kelim. When it becomes tomei, the only way it can become toir is if it gets smashed. It becomes totally useless. So they smashed it. And how did they smash it? How did they destroy it? They didn't just knock it to pieces. They cut it horizontally into rings. And now, just earthenware rings are not called a tanur. It's a useless oven. And therefore, it became toir. Now they wanted to reuse this oven. So they took all the rings, they placed them in order on top of each other, and they were nosan choil bein chulya lechulya, and they put some sand, some earthenware between one ring and the next, and then it will dry together like that, and then they could use it as an oven. Rabbi Eliezer says matayr. Rabbi Eliezer says it's now toir, since before they reattached the rings, it was not called an oven. Now they created it. The halacha is that an earthenware kli will only ever have the halachas of a kli if it gets baked in a furnace. Over here, after the rings got made, and now it became an oven just by putting some sand between one ring and the next, that's not called being burnt in an oven, and therefore it's not called a klicheres, and it's tohir, even though it's completely usable as an oven. The Chachomim say it's called an oven, it's got the din of a kli, and therefore it is tomei. I explained it, Harashi explained it, there are many other Rishonim who explain different ways this sugya, but we're going to keep it simple. V'zeh tanuroi shel achnoi. It says in the Mishnah, this is called a tanur of achnoi. Achnoi is a snake, and a snake rings itself, it circles itself around a person or anything it's trying to entangle, and therefore this oven is called achnoi. Rashi seems to say that it's called achnoi because each ring was like a snake, it was a circle. The question is just, why does the Mishnah have to tell us that it's called shel achnoi? What's the difference? So for that, my achnoi, why did the Mishnah have to tell us that it's called a tanur shel achnoi? Omar of Yudom HaShmuel, melamed shehikifuhu talochis ka'achnoi zeh, v'tim'uhu. The Chachomim brought many, many proofs. They surrounded Rebbe Eliezer with proofs that this oven is indeed tomei, not like Rebbe Eliezer had maintained. V'tanya, oyseh hayoyim hiviu kol tairis shetir Rebbe Eliezer v'sorfum lefonov. That on that day, when it was ruled by the Chachomim that this oven is tomei, then all those tairis, all the things that needed to be tohir and came into contact with this oven, based on Rebbe Eliezer's ruling that it's tohir, was now deemed tomei, and they burnt all those tairis that had become tomei. Nonetheless, Rebbe Eliezer insisted that it was tohir, and he kept trying to bring proofs to his own opinion, even though the Chachomim had clearly stated and ruled that it was tomei, and therefore l'besoif birchuhu, they excommunicated him. Says the Gemara, so here you find a case where you have a Mishnah discussing the Tanur shel achnoi, and Rebbe Eliezer was put into nidui. Why did Rebbe Elazar not bring this as proof of a fourth Mishnah of the 24 Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi mentioned, where we find excommunication in the Mishnayos? Answers the Gemara, afilo hocha nidui b'masnisin loitnan. Even though the Mishnah speaks about the Tanur shel achnoi, this detail that later in the day they put Rebbe Eliezer into nidui, that detail is in a brisa, like it says v'tanya oyse ayoy miviu kol atayrus, etc. And that detail is not mentioned in the Mishnah, and therefore Rebbe Lozo did not bring this as one of the 24, one of the three of 24 Mishnayos that mention excommunication. Asks the Gemara, Elo b'chof dalet mekoimo isheicha mishkachas lo. Where are these 24? Rebbe Shua ben Levi said there was 24. Rebbe Lozo found three of them. Where are the rest? Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi medama milsa lemilsa. Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi assumed that since in three places the Mishnah expresses the excommunication for those that were not mechabed, were not respecting Hashem or their revers, so Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi assumed that every time in the Mishnah we find a very big argument between a rabbim and a yochid, or they find an expression where one chacham spoke harshly to another one, Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi assumed that in all those cases there was also excommunication. Rebbe Lozo lo medama milsa lemilsa. Rebbe Lozo did not compare and assume one place being similar to another, and therefore he only found the three where it says it explicitly. Continues the Gemara. We're going now back to the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Noisei Hamita Vechilufehim, that those who have to carry the mitah with the nifta, they are oisik b'mitzvah, and they are potter from Kriyas Shema, etc., as well as other mitzvahs. Tanu Rabbonon, Ein Moitzien Es Hameis Samuch Kriyas Shema. One does not start taking a nifta from where he is to where the burial is going to be if it's close to the time of Kriyas Shema, because that will mean that all the people that are escorting the nifta may possibly miss Kriyas Shema. Rather, they wait for the zman of Kriyas Shema, everyone says Kriyas Shema, and then they start with the Levaya. Ve'im yischilu, if they did start, ein mafsikin, you don't stop the procession, the Levaya in the middle. Asks the Gemara, Eini, this seems not to be accurate. V'har Rav Yosef of Kuhu, samuch l'Kriyas Shema, when Rav Yosef was nifta, they started his Levaya close to the time of Kriyas Shema. Answers the Gemara, Odom Choshuv Shani, a very important and respected person, is different, and they don't wait with the Levaya, and they start the Levaya even Samuch Kriyas Shema. Continues the Gemara. We learnt in the Mishnah, Shelifnei Amito v'Shelachar Amito. There are those who are in front of the Mita, they have not yet carried the Mita, and there are those that are behind, and the Mita needs those in front, obviously, because the Mita is moving forward and the people in front are going to carry the Mita. And even those behind, we mentioned that they are going to be needed to carry the Mita again later, but there are differences in Halacha, as we saw in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, Ha'iskim behesped. Now we're talking about not the people who are carrying the Nifta, we're talking about the people who are present during the Hespedim. Bizman Shehameis Mutar Lifneim. In the event that the Nifta is there in front of them, Nishmotin Echod Echod V'Kirin, then one by one the people who were listening to the Hespedim, they can go to the side, say Kriyas Shema, and come back. They can't do it where they are because we're not allowed to say Kriyas Shema right in front of the Nifta. Ein Hameis Mutl Lifneim, if their Hespedim are taking place in a different room, Hein, the people who are listening, Yoshim V'Kirin, they can all say Kriyas Shema where they are. The Nifta's not there in front of them, and the fact that the Nifta's not in front of them, even though they're all Oisuk and listening to their Hespedim, nonetheless, it's not such a chosh of a Hesped, and therefore they can all say Kriyas Shema. V'hu, but the Ovel himself, Yoshev V'doimim, he should sit there and just be silent, because the Ovel himself is what we said in the Mishnah, Meisei Mutar Lefonov, and he is Potter from Kriyas Shema. Heim Oimdim U'Mispalalim, all the other people who are listening to their Spadim, they can stand up and daven Shachris, daven Shemoneh Esrei, or any tefillah they're supposed to be davening. V'hu, and the Ovel himself, Oimed, he also stands up, U'matzik Olov Esadin, he acknowledges the righteousness of Hashem's judgment. Va'omer, and he says the following, Ribono Elomim, Master of the World, Harbe chatosi lefanecha, I have sinned to you a lot. V'loy nifrato mimeni echod mini elef, you have not punished me even a thousandth of what I am deserving. Yihirotzen milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu, it should be your will, Hashem, shetigdoi pirutzoseinu, that our breaches should be sealed, and the breaches within Klal Yisrael, Berachamim, with mercy. Omar Abaya, Abaya said, Loi mi boi le inish le meimer hochi. It's inappropriate for a person to say something like, Loi nifrato mi meni echot mini elef, as if to say, I know that I'm deserving to get punished 999 times more than I already have. The Omar of Shimon ben Levi, v'chein tonem eshmeidu Rabbi Yosi, la'oilom aliftach odom piv le'satan. A person should not open his mouth to the satan. He shouldn't say something that if the satan would hear it, he'll say, hey, that's a good catch, I'll go to Shemaim, I'll make a kitrug. Maybe he deserves to be punished, and that will cause a person to be punished, and therefore, al tiftach pe' le'satan. V'omer of Yosef Maikro, where do we find such a thing in the Pasuk? Shenemar, as it says, Kim'at kizdoim hoyinu, that regarding the Churban, they said that it was only because of Rachmim Gedolim that Hashem saved us, and the Klal Yisrael Bechlal survived the Churban. But had Hashem not had an extra Midas Rachamim, we would have been like Sodom v'Amora, where nothing would have been left of us. And that was a certain tiftach peh l'satan, as if we deserve to have been totally wiped out. Maya hadar le'novi, later on in the Pasuk, the next Pasuk, the Novi Yeshayas responds, Shimu dvar Hashem, listen to the words of Hashem, and who was he addressing? Ktzinei Sodom, the chiefs of Sodom. He referred to those people that had spoken out as the chiefs of Sodom. And that happened because they opened their mouths and they said that we deserve to be destroyed like Sodom and Amora. So straight away the Novi referred back to them as the chiefs of Sodom. From here you learn al yiftach odom piv lasotin. Continues the Gemara. Kovru es hameis v'chozru v'chulu. This is talking about whether after the kvura, whether they should say Kriyas Shema, whether they'll have enough time to finish the Kriyas Shema before they have to get to the Shura, before the Avelim get to the Shura. Says the Gemara, Im yecholim lehaschil v'ligmoir es kula in. You're only allowed to start saying Kriyas Shema if you have enough time to finish the entire Kriyas Shema, all three parashiyos. Aval perek echod oy posuk echod, if you only have time to finish one of the parashiyos, or even just one posuk, then you're not allowed to say Kriyas Shema yet. You go to do the Shura, and you'll say Kriyas Shema later. Uraminu, we're going to ask a stira. The Braisa says, Kovru es hameis, they finished the burial, the chozru, and now they're on the way back to where they're going to do the Shura. Im yecholim lehaschil v'ligmer afilu perek echod, oy posuk echod, if there's enough time to finish even just one parasha and even just one posuk, they should say Kriyas Shema. And this is contrary to what we just saw now, that only if you can finish the whole of the Shema. Answers the Gemara, Hochanami Komer. Im yecholim lehaschil v'ligmer afilu perek echod, oy afilu posuk echod, that in our Mishnah that it says that if you manage to finish before the Shura, you should say Kriyas Shema, it's not pshat like we saw at the beginning of the Gemara that the Mishnah means if you could finish the whole of Shema. No, from the Braisa we see that the halacha is, and the Mishnah obviously meant that as well, that even if you have enough time to just say one posuk or one parasha, then that's enough and that's what you should say. Continues the Gemara. Ha'imdim b'shura v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that those who are standing in the lines that the Avelim are going to walk through, it depends, the innermost line on both sides of the Avelim, who are just, they're able to see and speak to the Avelim and be menachem them, they are potter. And there's a different halacha for those who are standing further away. Says the Braisa, Ton Rabbonon, Shura ha'roye p'nimo p'tura. The line that's just where the Avelim are going to walk through, and the line behind it, where they can also see the Avelim between the shoulders of the line in front of them, they are potter. V'she'enei roye pnimo, but those that are the third row and back, they are chayeves, they are mechuyev with Kriyas Shema, because they cannot see the Avelim. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haboim machmas ha'ovel pturim. Those who came in order to be menachem the aveilim, they are potter. And some say that this is referring to even those that are right at the back, behind the second, third, fourth row, they are also potter. Machmas atzmon But those that are coming just for themselves out of curiosity to see what's going on, chayovim, they are chayev with Kriyas Shema. And some say this is referring even to those in the front line, since they're not coming to be Menachem Navelim, they're not Oisik B'mitzvah, and they are chayev in Kriyas Shema. Rabbi Yoina discusses this. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Omarav, Hamoitzi Kilayim Bebigdoi. If somebody finds that a garment that he's wearing is bearing kilayim. Kilayim is a mixture of fibers of wool and linen, and the Torah says you're not allowed to wear such a garment. If somebody's in the middle of the street, in the middle of the marketplace, and he suddenly realizes that the clothes he's wearing is kilayim, says Rav Yehuda Marav, Poishton, he should remove that cloth, a fillable shuk, even if he's in the marketplace, and he's going to get very, very embarrassed. And it's almost going to affect his human dignity. My tam, why indeed do we expect him to do that? Because it says in the Pasuk, Ein chochma, there's no wisdom, vein tvunon, there's no understanding, vein eitzon, there's no counsel, leneged Hashem, against Hashem. If it says in the Torah you're not allowed to wear kilayim, then there's no cheshbonus, there's no kavod for there's no kavod to anything or for anything when it's against the kavod we deserve to give and we have to give Hashem. Kol mokim sheyesh chilul Hashem, in the event that we're talking about chilul Hashem, ein cholkin kavod l'rav. We don't even give kavod to a rav, to a respectable person. Relative to Hashem, nothing else has kavod. And since it's an avera to wear such a garment, even though human dignity is going to be compromised, you have to take off the cloth. Meis, we're going to ask a question from this from a braisa. Kavru es hameis, v'chozru, v'lifneim shtei drachim. They're on the way home from a levaya, and they're going with the avelim. All the people that came to the Beis HaKvaros together with the oval are now walking back with him in respect for the oval. V'lifneim beis drachim, and there are two paths with which to travel back. Achas tohira, v'achas tmeo. One of them has kvorim in it, is Tommy. The other one is tohir. Then bob b'tayra, if the oval chooses to go along the tohir path, boin imoy, everybody follows him b'tayra, in the tohir path. Bob b'tmeo, if the oval chooses to go on a path which is Tommy, boin imoy b'tumah. They follow him, along the path of Tuma, mishum kvoidei, because of the kavod of the oval. And this is true, even if one of the people who are there happens to be a kohen. And we know that it's also for a kohen to be metame himself. So just because he wants to give kavod to the oval, why does that allow a kohen to make himself tame? Ask the Gemara, Amai, leima ein chochma vein tvuno leneged Hashem. Answers the Gemara, Tirigamorab Abba, but Beis HaPras. This is talking about not that the Tomei path has a kever in it, and we know it's Tomei min HaTorah. We're talking about a Beis HaPras, which is only os Durabonon, which is only Tomei midurabonon. The Omer of Yudom HaShmuel, because of Yudom HaShmuel said, Menapeach Odom Beis HaPras, V'hoylech. That if there's a Beis HaPras, which is a field that's been plowed up, and we know that there may have been a grave there, and now we don't know if there are some fragments of bones that are lying on the surface, and if a kohen would go over them, it would make him tomei. Then menapeach, you can blow your way through as if, like, if there's anything there in front of you, any fragments of bones, the bones will just blow to the side. A person's allowed to do that. V'hoylech, he can go through there. V'omer of Yehuda bar Ashi mishmei derav, beis hapras shenidash. It's such a Beis HaPras where a lot of people have been there already and trampled on it. Tohir, even if there were some bone fragments, they are now being turned to dust or to tiny particles that are too small to make a kohen tomei. And therefore, since the Beis HaPras is only an Osa Midrabonon, therefore, in order to be mechabed, the Avelim, the Chachomim allowed him to go behind the Avelim, even through a Beis HaPras. Continues the Gemara Toshema, the Omar Rebbe Lozo Bar Tzodik. Rebbe Lozo Bar Tzodik, and we happen to know that he was a Kohen. Medalgim Hoyinu Al Gabe Aroinois. We used to jump over the coffins Shelamesim of the dead people. Likras Malchi Yisrael. When we were going, we were running towards the a king, a Jewish king, to see the melucha, to be mechabed the melech. Not only would we do that when going to see a Jewish king, Omru, they said, even when going to see a non-Jewish king, we would do that. Shem yizke yavchin bein malchi Yisrael, le malchi akum. There's an advantage of going to see the melech, even if he's not Jewish, because if we have this chus, we'll see when Mashiach comes how much more covered the Jewish kings are going to get, and you'll only see the contrast if you've experienced the covered that a non-Jewish king gets. And therefore, it's advantageous to go and see the covered of any type of melech. And he would do this even though he was a Kohen, and they would become Tomei if you jump over the Aroinos. Amai, Leima in Chochma vein Tvuna vein Eitzel neged Hashem. It's true that you want to experience the covered of the Melucha, but there's no covered even for a Rav when it's against the covered of Hashem. And Hashem said a Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei. Says the Gemara, Kedarova, the Omar Rava Dvar Toira Oihel Kol Shiesh Boi Chalal Tefach. Choytzes mifnei hatomei hatuma, v'shein b'chalal tefach ine choytzes mifnei hatuma, v'roi v'aroinus yesh b'en chalal tefach, v'gozru al sheyesh b'en mishum she'ein b'hem, u'mishum kvoid malachim le'gozru b'rabbonon. I'll explain what this means. Min ha'Torah, which means halacha l'Moshe Sinai, any roofing over a dead person or over a tuma, if there's an empty space of a tefach called a halal tefach between the mace and the roofing, it's choytzitz mifnei tuma. It acts as a barrier for the tuma, and the tuma cannot penetrate that empty area, and whatever's above it is tahir. And only if there's less than the tefach, then it does not act as a barrier, and the tuma will penetrate all the way up and make whoever's above it tuma. And we know that Roiv Aroinois, most of the Aroinois, the coffins, they had a Chalal Tefach, they do have a Tefach between the mace and the top of the Orin. And therefore, Min HaTorah, there's no Tumah. The Chachomim said that you should never jump over any Orin, just in case it's a type of Orin, which is very rare occurrence, where there was not going to be a Tefach, and we don't want to take a risk. And since the Min HaTorah, you're allowed to assume that this is one of the roiv, one of the coffins that are like most coffins, that there is a tefach and therefore there's no tumah, and it's only that the Rabbonon said you should be machmir for any type of coffin, over here that it was kvoid malachim, the Rabbonon wavered the takana, the gezeira, and said you're allowed to go over these coffins to see the melucha. Continues the Gemara, Toshema. Godoil kvoid habriyos shadoicha sloisa sesha b'teira. Human dignity is important enough that it overrides even a loisa se and avera in the teira. V'amai, why should this be true? Leima ein chochma vein tvuna vein eitzel l'neged Hashem. We saw before that kol mokim shesh chilul Hashem, that it means doing an avera, ein chilkin kovid l'rav. We don't give kovid to anybody. So why here, because of Kovid Abriyos, should we be doicha, should we override a lav in the Torah? Answers the Gemara, Tirgama Rav Bar Shavo Kameda Rav Kahana, Belav Deloi Soso. This is not talking about regular Avera. Of course, a regular Avera does not get wavered for human dignity. The Avera of Loi Soso, this lav, it does. Eichichu Olei. The Rabbonon laughed at him for saying this. Lav de leisosur de reisehi. The lav of leisosur is also a pasuk in the Torah. Why should this be different to any other lav in the Torah? Omar of Kahana, Gavra Rabba Omar Milsa Altachai Chole. A big person like Rav Bar Shavo, who says something, anything he says, don't ridicule it, don't laugh at it. Yeah, try and understand what he meant. What does he mean? Kol mili de rabbonon os mechinu alav de lo yisosur, o mishim kvoido yishoru rabbonon. So I'll tell you how the Ramban in Shirush Aleph, in the Sefer Mitzvahs on the Rambam, explains this. He says there are two different types of drabbonons. There's one drabbonon, which is poshet our chachomim teaching us how to learn psukim. The Yud Gimel Midei Sarachmim, the rules with which we learn halachas from psukim. And that lo yisosor is clearly like a regular lav, and it's min ha-Torah, and there's no properties of drabonon in it. However, there are other drabonons where the chachomim make new takonos, new gezeiros, and they're allowed to do that. Chazal, different places, speak about what the rules are, but they're allowed to do that. Those rabbonons, they find sources in the Torah for those new mitzvahs, for those gzeiros. But they are considered drabbonon. And the Torah says, lo yisosor, you have to listen even to those rabbonons. But since there it's a new drabbonon, the lo yisosor there means, in as much as the chachomim asked it, that's how osur it is. And since the whole lav is only based on how also the chachomim made it, if the chachomim themselves were to say that the gzeira that we made doesn't apply in the place of human dignity, then the loisosor allows that where there's human dignity, you don't need to keep the issa drabonon, because the chachomim themselves limited the issa to where there's no pgam, there's no problem with kvoit habriyos. That's what it means. Kol mili derabonon asmechinu alav de loisosur. Every mitzvah derabonon is included in the loisosur, and the loisosur says you have to listen to the chachomim. However, the chachomim said that if there's a mokim of kovid, then it doesn't apply, and therefore the loisosur does not stop a person from wavering those yisurim for the sake of kvoid habriyos. Continues the Gemara. Toshema. We learned in a braisa, v'his alamto. There's an extra word, v'his alamto, in the parasha of Ashovas Aveda, and v'his alamto means you ignore. So it's coming to teach us, v'his alamto mehem, po'omim sha'atom is'alim mehem. Sometimes you're allowed to ignore an Aveda, some lost property, there's a mitzvah to return it. Sometimes you're allowed to ignore it. U'po'omim sha'inatom is'alim, but sometimes you're not allowed to ignore it. It says in the pasuk, don't ignore the an aveda. Haketzad, what's it dependent on? Im hoya kohen v'hi bebeis hakvaris. If the person who finds the property, the lost property, is a kohen, and the lost property is actually in the beis hakvaris, and it's also for a kohen to go into the beis hakvaris, then v'is alamta, the kohen is allowed to ignore it. Oy shahoya zokin. If the person who found this lost property is an old or aged or respectable person, or it's not according to his dignity, or if the amount you'd have to charge your friend for your own expenses of retrieving this Aveda is more than the Aveda is actually worth, and his friend is not going to reimburse you for these expenses, you're not expected or not mechuyev to do Ashavas Aveda at your own personal expense. And in these cases, the pasuk says you're allowed to ignore the aveda. Ask the Gemara, Amai, why is zokin v'einu lifi chvoidoi? If it's below your dignity to return this aveda, then you're allowed to ignore it. Leima ein chochma v'ein tvuna v'ein eitol neged Hashem. Since it's a mitzvah of Ashavas aveda, then you should have to keep that mitzvah, even at the expense of your own kovod. Answers the Gemara, you're right. The reason he's potter is not just because of kvod habriyos, because we say that when it comes to mitzvahs, then there's no kovod. But over here, there's a special pasuk that says v'salamto, that sometimes you're allowed to ignore an aveda. And Chazal teach us that it's referring to this case. It's as if the pasuk said l'katchila, that the whole chiyuv of Ashavas aveda is only when it's not at the expense of your own kovod. Ask the Gemara, v'ligmor mino, why don't we learn from here that all mitzvahs, if it's at the expense of your kovod that you're potter, why regarding all other mitzvahs or averus? For example, you find kilayim in your clothes, over there we say, ein chochma v'ein tvuna v'ein eitzel l'neged Hashem, you have to take your clothes off even in the marketplace. Why don't we learn from his alamta that there too, kovod habriyos comes first and you do not need to take off the garment of kilayim? Says the Gemara, Isura mimamoina lo yalfinon. Regarding Ashavas Aveda, which is a monetary issue, there it's easier. But regarding Kilaim, which is an Issa, Isurim are always more chomor, so you cannot learn Isurim from Momoin. Continues the Gemara, Toshema. Ula achoisoi. In the parasha of Nozir, it says that a Nozir is not allowed to become Tomei to any dead person. And the pasuk speaks out. This includes le'aviv u'le'imoy le'achiv u'le'achosoy lo yitamo. He's not allowed to become tomei, even though normally there's a mitzvah to become tomei to one of one's seven relatives, but a nozer is not allowed to become tomei. The question is, it says le'aviv u'le'imoy le'achiv u'le'achosoy etc. Why is the word achosoy spelled out, singled out? And Chazal explain each one why it's mentioned separately. Why is achosoy mentioned? Ma Talmud loymar, harei shehoy yohoy leich lishchoytas pischoy, if somebody is going to shecht the korban Pesach on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, and not shechting the korban Pesach is an issa of korah, is a punishment of korah. V'lomol es bonoy, or he's going to do bris milah on his son. And the mitzvah of milah is also one that carries a korah punishment if somebody does not have milah. V'shoma shemeis leimeis, and suddenly he hears that one of his relatives died. Yochil yachzer v'yitamei, I might have thought that he should go and do the mitzvah of becoming tomei to one's relative. And this is not talking about a nazir, he should become tomei. Omras lo yitamo. The pasuk says, lo yitamo, you should not become tomei, and you should rather go and do the mitzvahs that are punishable by korus. Yochel kishem she'enei mitamei lohem, I may have thought that in the same way as he doesn't become tomei to one of his relatives, kach enei mitamei lemes mitzvah, if on the way to doing the korban Pesach, or on the way to doing the milah of his son, he sees a mes mitzvah, a dead person with nobody to take care of him, nobody else who can take care of the burial, Talmud leima ula'achosoy. That's why it singles out la'achosoy. La'achosoy hu de'enei mitamei. He's not allowed to become tomei to his sister. Aval mitamei hu le'mes mitzvah. But he is allowed to make himself tomei to a mes mitzvah because of kovod abriyos. And kovod abriyos is doicha even a mitzvah min ha'Torah, like a nozer not becoming tomei, or korban pesach, or milah. Ask the Gemara, Amai, why are you allowed to become tomei to a mes mitzvah because of kovod abriyos, just because of the dignity of the person who had passed away, when it's at the expense of a mitzvah or an aveira? Leima in chochma vein tfuna vein etzel neged Hashem. Why don't we say that when it comes to mitzvahs and aveiras, dignity of a human being does not count? Answers the Gemara, Shani hocha dichsiv v'la'achosoy. It says explicitly v'la'achosoy that a nozir only doesn't become tomei to his sister, and we learn from there, but he does become tomei to a mes mitzvah. So you see explicitly that the kovod that we have to give to a mes mitzvah overrides other mitzvahs, not just because of kovod abriyos, but because the pasuk says explicitly that you're allowed to be metamei to a mes mitzvah. Asks the Gemara of Ligmir Mino, why can't we learn out from a mes mitzvah that any time where there's dignity involved, that the human dignity takes preference over the mitzvahs or the averus? Says the Gemara, Shev al tase shani. In the case of the mes mitzvah, over there he's being metame to the mes mitzvah. Now what's going to happen to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, or the mitzvah of not doing milah to his son? Those mitzvahs will be transgressed passively, not actively. However, regards to kilayim, where he's actually wearing the garment and he put it on and he can take it off, there it's much worse. There we don't have any source that you don't have to take off the clothes in order to avoid doing the issa. It's not similar to the transgression of Korban Pesach or Milas Bonoi that happens passively just by virtue of the fact that you're not doing those mitzvahs because you're Tomei or because you're Oisek in a mes mitzvah. And Yemei Tzeshem, the next year we're going to carry on from here.